Councillor Boyce, thank you for letting me interview here. Can you tell me a little bit about your early days, your youth?
Well, I was born in Lambeth and lived the time until I was 16 at the top of Streatham, top of Brixton Hill, on the where the South Circular intersects. My parents purchased a shop in Latchingdon, and the family moved down in 1955, and I had, I think, a multitude of jobs. I'd left school at 15, I think it was 15 in those days.
So you were how old when you came to Essex?
17.
17. Yeah. And why, it was a big move, wasn't it, from London to Essex?
For a 17-year-old boy, it was a disaster. But I was away in the Merchant Navy at that time, so I didn't feel it so much. But I used to go back to my old haunts in London when I was about... but I have since realised it was the best thing that could have happened to me. And I've got two brothers and a sister who are younger than me, and they took to life in rural Essex in the dingy peninsula very well.
And your parents were successful in running the shop? They were happy?
Yes. They ran it for about 25 years. Early on, they took over the post office, so my father became the postmaster, and he retired and went to live in Burnham. My brother ran the shop and post office for quite a while. My brother was a successful yachtsman. He was once picked for the Olympics in Russia, in Moscow, but the yacht squadron, because of the war in Afghanistan at that time, the yacht squadron didn't attend. Wow. So he missed out on becoming an Olympian.
That would have been a real achievement.
It would have been, yes.
Oh dear. Yeah. And so when you came back from being in the Merchant Navy, eventually, how long were you there in the Merchant Navy?
Oh, not long. I only did, it was only about a year.
Right.
And it was basically because of the move.
Mm. So when you finally came back and sort of settled more or less in Essex, was that in Latchingdon as well?
Yes. I lived in Latchingdon for over 60 years. I went and worked at the power station.
Did you?
And worked there for nearly 30 years.
And what was your job there?
I was a plant operator.
Right. Right. Was that a good experience?
It was bloody hard work. Whoops. it was hard work, especially in the commissioning stages, where we were actually working something like 7 days a week, 12-hour shifts.
To a complete novice, can you explain what commissioning is?
Charging the reactor core with uranium elements, fuel rods as they were called. They were about 3 foot long. We used to sit on what was called the charge pan and log these being loaded into each channel. There's something like 2,500 channels of fuel, which each had 8 rods in it.
Mm. And how many people were doing that job along with yourself?
I think there was 3 crews working on the charge pan with, with, I suppose, 4 or 5 people in each crew. But the staff at the power station at one stage was about 300 people.
Nowadays, some people are unhappy about nuclear energy. So when Bradwell was first thought about and built, was there local opposition at all in those days?
From memory, of course I didn't work there then, but the inquiry into the Bradwell nuclear power station took 3 days. And I seem to remember one of the main issues was brent geese. Now they've become a pest, I think, but in those days, that was... I mean, this is only something I've picked up from the press at the time.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, obviously you had a good job there for many years.
I did, yeah.
When did you first get involved in Maldon District Council?
I was first elected to Maldon District Council in 1983, which will be 40 years next May.
Mm-hmm. You were first a councillor for the Latchingdon area?
No, for the Althorn ward, and I'm still the... there's 2 members in the Althorn ward now, but I'm still a member of for Althorn. Mm. Althorn covers many villages, Mundon, Maylandsey, Latchingdon and Althorn.
And what made you initially interested in becoming a councillor? What drove you?
Well, it's funny. Soon after we came here to Latchingdon, I used to attend the parish council meetings. And the rural district councillor in those days was the local vicar, name of Ben Davis, who was quite a character. And I sat there and watched him, and I thought, I'd like to be a district councillor at some stage. That was just a passing thought. But what I haven't mentioned is that at the power station, I was what would be an easier term to understand, as shop steward. So I had an insight of wanting to help others in some way. Some people might think, well, shop stewards don't help anybody, but
you were representing people to the management.
Yeah, yes. Mm. And it just grew from that. As I say, in 1983, I think I was... I was elected without a poll, which means that I was not contested the first time I stood. But to be honest, I can't remember if it was the first time or the second time. But certainly in my political career, I got returned uncontested on one occasion.
And in those days, was attending council meetings much the same as today? Have there been big changes?
There's been massive changes. And I do wonder now whether it's actually worth being a district councillor, because you're restricted. An example, when I first became a district councillor, the members, the councillors, actually allocated the council houses. Because they knew their area and they knew the needs of the people, and they kept them local. Legislation has changed that now. Councillors are not involved. They set a policy on how allocation should happen, but they don't... They don't get actually involved in the allocations. I've got strong feelings about that. I was actually the chairman of the housing committee 27 or 8 years ago, and I transferred the housing stock to a housing association. We created a housing association to take the stock, which was a very successful consultation with I think we had something like 1,200 properties with all the tenants, and we got an 80% acceptance vote to transfer to a housing association. I was very proud of that.
That was a big achievement in your in your political life.
Yes, good.
Obviously, the council, I imagine, is a lot larger now. More members. More.
There was only, funnily enough, there's only one extra member, and of course, when we transferred the housing stock, almost 50% of the employees of the council transferred out. I think we've got something like 200 full-time equivalent staff now.
What other early memories have you got about being on the council?
Well, you can see from the photograph up on the wall there, the first time I ever met royalty was Duke of Kent, when I was vice chairman to Rodney Bass. And over the years, I've met several members of royalty for different reasons, including having lunch with the Queen.
My goodness, tell me about that.
Oh, well, in 2010, I think it was, the Queen came to visit Maldon, and after she'd done a tour of the town, the salt works, she then went into the town hall, and we were all introduced to her, or we all stood round in groups, and then went in to have lunch. The Queen had lunch in Maldon when she was here.
And were you sitting next to her?
I wasn't sitting next to her, but I was on the next table.
Right.
She was, I suppose, over there where the corner is, away from me.
But you'd had a chance to have a few words with her.
Well, not many words, no.
Still, that was
just a handshake.
Yes, no, that was a lovely memory.
Yeah,
excellent. Yeah, yeah. So, from being a councillor, Bob, and you said I could call.
That's fine.
Did you move up? I believe you said earlier you were leader of the council.
I've been leader twice, from 2003 to 2006, and from 2012 to 2015. Which was quite an achievement. I've also been chairman three times. The first time was I think 95.
And can you, this is an obvious question, but could you tell me the difference between being leader and being chairman?
The chairman is the civic head of the council. The leader is the political head, which means that the chairman should be apolitical, not get involved in any political issues, represent the council within the district and outside of the district. I was leader of the council when the death in the lake occurred, which was very sad for all concerned. We were found guilty in the Crown Court of causing the death. I spent 3 weeks at the Crown Court during the trial. I was asked to stand and plead at the start and stand to receive the jury's verdict at the end, which was quite traumatic, as it was a guilty verdict. But the good that came of that, well, it wasn't because of that, but coincidentally, about this time, we received something like 2,300,000 pounds from government to upgrade the Prom Park. I think it was a Victorian Park issue. And out of this, we changed the lake from a marine lake to a freshwater lake. And in doing so, we had to clear the mud out of the lake, which we weren't allowed to put back into the river because it was toxic, full of heavy metals and and such like. We stored it in what is the valley where the galleon is and the splash park. And there was must have been about 5,000 tonnes. All that had to be landfilled. But from that, as I was saying, we created the nice lake, which is good for wildlife. We made the children's area in the valley with the galley and the splash park.
Were you affected by the opposition to those changes?
There was, as you're probably aware, there was a lot of local opposition. I mean, because it was 100 years the Marine Lake had been there, but it was just not manageable as a swimming venue. We had lots of arguments. We've had people want to return it to be able to swim in the lake now, but the health and safety legislation surrounding it makes it just impossible for the council, especially in these times, to afford that sort of thing. Okay. But we did have the leisure centre, which I know isn't quite the same, because you have to pay to go to the leisure centre, you didn't have to pay to go into the lake. But the leisure centre took a lot of the load. And of course the splash park became extraordinarily popular to the children.
Yeah.
I opposed the leisure centre when it was first promoted in the 80s.
Did you?
Yeah, I did.
So at that point, were you were leader?
When this was going on, the death in the lake and the change of the marine lake to a freshwater lake and the improvements on the prom, yes, I was leader then.
That was a hard time then
for you. It was, yes.
Mm.
Yeah.
Stressful.
Well, you do your best, don't you?
Just get on with it.
What's stress? I don't know. I don't know what stress is.
Oh, good. That's why you look so well and fit.
Yeah.
On to a slightly different subject. Maldon and Heybridge, you mentioned that.
In the 1989 Local Government and Housing Act, Maldon Town and Heybridge had to become separate parishes. Although it's called a town council, legally it's a parish, and it's made a town council by resolution of the parish council, turning itself into a town council. And the leader, or we didn't have a designated leader, but the de facto leader was Keith Mannion, as chairman of the Policy and Resources Committee, as we called it then. I was his vice chairman. But because he was a town councillor, he couldn't be involved. So I had to do all the work. Well, officers did all the work to split the town council and the Heybridge, as it was then, parish council.
Right, yes. So again, I'm going to take you back to sort of early days, and I'm going to ask you about any particular memories of Maldon when you perhaps first started working here in the area.
The things I remember is Wells the upholsterer, which was up on the corner where Hagerson's Gallery was or is. I don't know I'm not sure what it is now.
Mm-hmm.
I bought an armchair from him, and I've still got it.
What was the name? Wells.
Wells. Yeah, right. He had the shop up in the corner there.
Yeah, yeah.
And the other thing was the cannon in the high street. And you need a Maldonian to tell you where that actually was, but between the buildings there was an open area which was gated. It's all been filled in now, so I can't even place where it is, but it used to be a cannon standing there. But those are my sort of early memories of...
That's interesting. I haven't heard about that before.
Yeah. You need to talk to somebody.
And why do you love Maldon so much?
I absolutely adore the district, and the Denji I think is the nicest place on earth. It's peaceful if you want peace. It's getting to be a problem now with the development, but Maldon is really special.
And you don't mind the wind farm on the Denji?
Oh, I do. I hate it. It's an intrusion into the visual harmony. Don't like it at all.
But it's there now.
Oh, but it's there now, yeah.
Bob, I know that you were awarded an MBE. When was that?
It was the birthday honours in 2015. It was a major shock.
Really?
Oh, yes. Well, of course. It's something that they're probably much more deserving people than I was. But of course, I was greatly honoured. By it. You never know who's not nominated you or how you're nominated and why you're nominated. My first inkling of why it was nominated was I had a query from the press before the official announcement, or just after the official announcement was made. And they believed it was something to do with my involvement with saving the World War I airfield at Stoke Moretz.
Oh,
when I went up to the investiture, which is another story, I was given it by our now King, who was then, of course, the Prince of Wales. He spoke about the work I'd done for the Armed Forces Day, and that was because of the association with the airfield, because I'd arranged for the Armed Forces Day, which we used to just raise a flag in downstairs here in the council offices. But I arranged for it to be all transferred to the World War I aerodrome at Stoke Moretz. And I was involved very heavily in persuading the council to help fund the purchase. Other than that, I don't know anything else.
But again, another great achievement.
Well, if you say so.
I do. tell me about the Maroons on the 11th of the 11th.
Well, I think his name was Lord Effingham. And he, I believe, was the president of the Royal British Legion at the time. And he came down to visit us with the father of a friend of mine called Doug Hancock, who was heavily involved with the Royal British Legion, the band of the Royal British Legion that was based at Brentwood, or the Essex branch. In our discussions, he suggested that it would be nice to commemorate the 11th of the 11th actually on the day, which, going back to my youth, it used to be, although Remembrance Sunday was still always. I just asked people here to arrange the Maroons, and that has happened ever since. Mm-hmm. Apart from the COVID years, of course, I think.
Of course, yeah. And on a sort of slightly similar subject, forces, HMS Blackwater, what happened about that?
Well, HMS Blackwater was a minesweeper, I think. She was sold to the Brazilians, that's another interesting story of decommissioning, actually. I'll get onto that in a minute, if you like. And she paid two official visits to the district. Now, the first time she came, she tied up at Rochford on the Crouch at the quay there. And we had to get a boat from Burnham and go across to her for a reception on her. The second time, she moored at the end of Southend Pier, and we all went down. Well, I say all, several of us, the leader, the chairman, and a few others, went down to Southend Pier on the train down to reception on HMS Blackwater. Now, her decommissioning John Smith, who was killed in a, he was the leader of the council at that time, he was killed later in an airplane accident. He suggested I go with him to Southend to join HMS Blackwater, and we sailed up the Thames. And again, as we passed Greenwich, the tradition is that all the sailors line the ship's side and salute Greenwich Palace or hospital. The Greenwich Hospital Palace. And that, I think, was the last time that actually happened. Mm-hmm. But it was a blazing hot day, and although the night before we'd enjoyed the hospitality, the run up the river was dry, and I had difficulty even finding a glass of water because the sailors were all involved in something or other. But again, that's a sort of vivid memory.
A lovely memory.
Yeah.
And another memory must be the that you were involved in setting up of concerts in the park.
It must have been about 96 or 97. 96 was the 100th anniversary of the Promenade Park being given to the people of Morden, I believe, by Alderman Fitch. I was chairman for 2 years. We laid on free concerts. The council seemed to have lots of money in those days. Got nothing now. The first night, I think, it absolutely poured down with rain, but there was 8 or 10,000 people sitting there, and they just did not move. We had hospitality tents, and I'd invited the chief constable, amongst others, and one of the public gate crashed our tent and was most upset to find that he'd been arrested by the chief constable. Well, it wasn't actually the chief constable, it was one of his officers. I don't think he was arrested. I heard him comment, "Of all the tents, I have to pick the one with the chief constable in."
And how long did the concerts go on for? How many did you...
There was two years, but then the council tried to... keep them going as an event, a chargeable event. But it started to really cost the council something like £100,000. We could not, we could not seem to get. There was plenty of people there, but they never actually covered the costs of putting it on.
Understandable. Right. Changing the subject completely, I believe you were involved again in the setting up of the natural burial site.
Well, I wasn't involved in setting it up. That was done by very, very good cemetery officers that we had here then and still have. The inauguration, if you like, of it about 25, 26 years ago, I was the chairman and went up and opened the opened it up, which I did again last Saturday. A day of dedication. There's a, every year the council has a day of dedication where the families and friends and relatives of those that are interred there come and plant trees and bulbs.
Good. A good thing for Malton to have. Okay, so I'll finish, if I may, Bob. I believe, as well as meeting the Queen, and there have been various other members of the royal family coming to Malton.
Princess Anne actually opened the leisure centre. I was present there. And Princess Anne has come, as it were, for private reasons. She used to take her children down to the Royal Corinthian Yacht Club for sailing. And she came on an anniversary earlier this year to Burnham. That didn't get into the press at all because it was a private visit, not not a, as it were, a royal visit.
Not an official one.
The Duke of Gloucester actually opened these council offices in, I think, 1987. And the Duke of Gloucester has also been to the World War One aerodrome at Stowe Maris for an event, and Prince Edward as well. I was introduced to Prince Edward there. We've had lots of royal visits over the years.
Good. Well, let's hope King Charles will visit sometime in the not too distant future.
I don't know about that. I certainly won't be involved then.
Well, thank you very much, Bob. It's been really interesting.
Right, well, I'll thank you.
Lovely to hear all your memories. Yeah. Thank you.